God's Word from Jeremiah chapter 36. Last time I was here, 3 or 4 weeks ago, we also looked at a chapter in Jeremiah. It was quite a long reading then. This is also quite a long reading. Maybe we just in unison together read the first 10 verses, and then I'll continue on with the rest so that we read through the entire chapter. But you with me, just the first 10 verses. It's found on page 536, page 536 in your Bibles, Jeremiah chapter 36. Now, just a bit of review. Remember, Jeremiah was a prophet in the southern kingdom of Israel, the two tribes that remained after the northern tribes were taken away by Assyria and dispersed among the nations. Jeremiah was a prophet for the Lord for about 40 years. Some years before 600 B.C. and some years after 600 B.C. But the year 600 B.C. is a good year to put in your mind. 600 years before Christ was born. Now in this chapter, interestingly, we're going to be reading about a king, King Jehoiakim of Judah. Jehoiakim was the son of a good king Josiah. And some of you may remember that King Josiah as the boy king who reigned in Judah when he was just 8 years old, under the co-regency of the Queen Mother and other advisors. When King Josiah was 26 years old, in his 18th year of reign, the Book of the Law, the first five books of our Bible, were rediscovered, hidden away in the somewhat ruined temple building. That Book of the Law had not been read for many, many years before that. So King Josiah had that scroll brought into his presence, and he had that scroll read in his hearing, and by God's grace, hearing God's word, Josiah repented of his sin and the sin of his people, and he renewed the covenant that God had made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And after a long reign, King Josiah was killed in a battle, and one of his sons took over in his father's place, and after that son died, a second son of Josiah was made king. And it's this king, King Jehoiakim, then, that is really the second son, or the second son who was king in Judah after Josiah. So let's read just these first 10 verses together, and then I'll continue on with verse 11 to the end. Now it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take a scroll of a book and write on it all the words that I have spoken to you against Israel, against Judah, and against all the nations from the day I spoke to you, from the days of Josiah even to this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the adversities which I purpose to bring upon them, that everyone may turn from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah called Baruch the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote on a scroll of a book, at the instruction of Jeremiah, all the words of the Lord which he had spoken to him. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am confined, I cannot go into the house of the Lord. You go, therefore, and read from the scroll which you have written at my instruction, the words of the Lord, in the hearing of the people in the Lord's house on the day of fasting. And you shall also read them in the hearing of all Judah who come from their cities. It may be that they will present their supplication before the Lord, and everyone will turn from his evil way. For great is the anger and the fury that the Lord has pronounced against his people. And Baruch the son of Neriah did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading from the book of the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. Now it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem, and to all the people who came from the cities of Judah to Jerusalem. Then Baruch read from the book the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord, in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe, in the upper court at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, in the hearing of all the people. Then let me continue on. And when Micaiah, the son of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, heard all the words of the Lord from the book, he then went down to the king's house into the scribe's chamber. And there all the princes were sitting. Elishamah, the scribe, Delaiah, the son of Shemaiah, Elnathan, the son of Achbor, Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, Zedekiah, the son of Hananiah, and all the princes. Then Micaiah declared to them all the words that he had heard when Baruch read the book in the hearing of the people. Therefore all the princes sent Jehudi, the son of Nathaniah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Cushai, to Baruch, saying, "Take in your hand the scroll from which you have read in the hearing of the people, and come." So Baruch, the son of Neriah, took the scroll in his hand and came to them. And they said to him, "Sit down now and read it in our hearing." So Baruch read it in their hearing. Now it happened when they heard all the words that they looked in fear from one to another and said to Baruch, "We will surely tell the king of all these words." And they asked Baruch, saying, "Tell us now, how did you write all these words? At his instruction?" So Baruch answered, "He," it's probably Jeremiah, "proclaimed with his mouth all these words to me, and I wrote them with ink in the book." And the princes said to Baruch, "Go and hide, you and Jeremiah, and let no one know where you are." And they went to the king into the court, but they stored the scroll in the chamber of Elishamah the scribe, and told all the words in the hearing of the king. So the king sent Jehudi to bring the scroll, and he took it from Elishamah the scribe's chamber, and Jehudi read it in the hearing of the king, and in the hearing of all the princes who stood beside the king. Now the king was sitting in the winter house in the ninth month with a fire burning on the hearth before him. And it happened when Jehudi had read three or four columns that the king cut it with the scribe's knife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth. And all the scroll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. And yet they were not afraid, nor did they tear their garments, the king nor any of the servants who heard all these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan, Delaiah, and Gemariah implored the king not to burn the scroll, but he would not listen to them. And the king commanded Jeremiel, the king's son, Seraiah, the son of Azrael, and Shelemiah, the son of Abdiel, to seize Baruch the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet. But the Lord hid them. Now after the king had burned the scroll in the words with the words which Baruch had written at the instruction of Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, "Take yet another scroll, and write on it all the former words that were in the first scroll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, has burned. And you shall say to Jehoiakim, son of Judah, 'Thus says the Lord, you have burned this scroll, saying, why have you written it that the king of Babylon will certainly come and destroy this land and cause man and beast to cease from here? Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have no one sit on the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out to the heat of the day and the frost of the night. I will punish him, his family, and his servants for their iniquity. And I will bring on them, on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and on the men of Judah, all the doom that I have pronounced against them." But they did not heed. Then Jeremiah took another scroll and gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote on it at the instruction of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. And besides, there were added to them many similar words. May God then bless His word to our hearing. Dear brothers and sisters and friends, the people in ancient times did not have books like we have today. Books with cut pages and with a spine and with the pages glued and stitched to the spine of the book. The invention of the modern book is only about 500 years old. In ancient days, instead of books, the people used scrolls. Boys and girls, maybe you've seen scrolls. If you've gone to a museum, like rolled up books, paper-like material of scrolls was rolled up into one long scroll. And then as you would write it, you would pull out the paper from the bottom of the scroll and you would write. Well, in Hebrew, they would write from the right to the left. As one section was filled up, you would pull that page over and start to roll it up. And you would pull out a clean part from the empty scroll on the left hand. And eventually, as you would write, the scroll on the left, the clean part, that scroll would get smaller and smaller, and the part on the right, the part that was written, that scroll would get larger and larger until the scroll was finished. Well, in the first couple of verses of this chapter, God tells Jeremiah to get a new scroll, a scroll with no writing on it, a blank scroll. And God told Jeremiah to start writing his words, not new words, but to write down the words which God earlier had spoken to the prophet Jeremiah, to write those old words down. Evidently, many of the chapters of our current book of Jeremiah are written down at that point. Up to then, the words of the prophet had only been spoken from the Lord. So now, Jeremiah, through his secretary, actually writes them down. In fact, our word, the scripture, or sometimes in the plural, the scriptures, literally means written down. We have the English word script. You can get some document that's written, or a card, or something in writing, and you call it script. Well, it's simply referring to words written down on paper. So we refer to the Bible as scripture, words of God written down. So in that way, the spoken word of the Lord in Jeremiah's time became the written or inscripturated word of the Lord. And so even today, we call the written Bible the scriptures. To do this, Jeremiah got himself a kind of secretary. So that is, Jeremiah would recall those previous words of the Lord given to him by revelation. That secretary would simply write them down as Jeremiah spoke. The secretary's name is Baruch. Jeremiah then was speaking from the Lord, inspired by God's Holy Spirit, and Baruch was writing those words down. Jeremiah then gave his secretary another assignment. For some reason, Jeremiah himself couldn't go to the temple, so he sent Baruch to go to the temple building. And there Baruch had to stand in a public place and start reading all the words written down on that scroll, reading God's word to God's people. We're told in verse 6 that happened during a time of fasting. We're not told why the people were fasting. Maybe the king had called to fast because right at this very time, the historians tell us that the armies of Babylon were defeating in decisive battle the armies of Egypt from the south. And so it became very clear that Babylon was going to overrun that whole area in just the next few months. So maybe a fast was called for that reason, to seek the Lord's help. We don't know. But there were probably more people than usual in and around the temple building at the time Baruch was reading. And what would the people have heard as Baruch was reading? Well, think of some of the previous chapters of the book of Jeremiah. Now, the congregation on the other side of Toronto, since we've gone through this book, 8 or 9 sermons were familiar, but I can just point out some of the highlights of the book of Jeremiah. In chapters 2 and 3, for example, the Lord told Jeremiah that Judah, the people of Judah, had become like a sexually immoral wife, like a newly married wife who abandoned her loving husband, taking to herself other lovers, other gods, like the Baal and Asherah. God said that his people were lusting after the other gods, like other husbands. Also, other chapters in the book of Jeremiah, the Lord says that the people had become terribly cruel and vicious towards one another. In other chapters, God was pointing out their sins of cheating and stealing from one another, taking advantage of those in poverty. In other places, we read about how the people were lying to one another all the time, and terribly deceiving one another. That's what the people would have heard as Baruch was reading from that scroll. They also would have heard this, that because of all their sins and their refusal to repent of their sins, God's anger was burning hot against them. And God was planning to smash them like a pottery jar. In one chapter, the Lord says to Jeremiah, take a pottery jar and go out and smash it in front of the king's officials. And so the Lord was going to smash Judah by sending the Babylonian army to invade their land. Thousands of people would be killed by the Babylonian soldiers. Thousands more taken as exiles to the faraway city of Babylon. But all of this is what the people were hearing as Baruch was reading from the scroll. That was God's revelation to his people. Revelation. That's one of those big words. What does it mean? Revelation. You hear the word reveal in that longer word revelation. God revealing himself, God showing Himself, God sharing something of His will and purpose and plan to His people. And God in Revelation was revealing the people's sins to them, showing them from His Word how they had fallen short of His glory and how they needed to repent of their sin. All the Bible today, in theological language, we call it God's special revelation. God revealing Himself to us in a special way. God revealing also our sin and God's anger about our sin. And God revealing how we can be forgiven of our sin. So the people in Jeremiah's day, hearing that revelation from God, that meant that they had to respond to that revelation. Revelation leads to response. That's the title of this message. Revelation and response. Hearing revelation from God, God's Word to His people, meant that the people had to respond. Years ago, I had some small booklets written for Christian children, and that series of booklets was entitled Revelation and Response. God revealing Himself to us in His Word, the Bible, and we responding to His Word. God's revelation leads to our response. So let's look, secondly, at the response. At the response that God wanted from His people. Look, if you will, at verses 6 and 7. Jeremiah said this to his secretary, Baruch, the last part of verse 6. You read from this scroll in the hearing of all Judah, those who come from the cities. It may be that the people will present their supplications before the Lord. Supplications, prayers in this context, prayers of sadness and sorrow over their sins, prayers of the people humbling themselves and seeking the Lord. It may be that the people will present their prayers before the Lord and everyone will turn from his evil way. Look what the Lord said at the end of verse 3. When the people hear my word, the words of the scroll written in that scroll, that everyone might turn from his evil way, and then I, the Lord, may forgive their iniquity and their sin. See, that's God's intent when He gives His word. God reveals Himself. He openly and strongly also speaks about our sin in His word. But it's God's intent not to leave us in our sin. Not to leave us in our guilt or to just cause us to fall into despair and just to stay there. See, it's God's intent when we hear His Word that we would know our sin and repent of our sin. That we would admit we are indeed sinners. One commentator writes this, God wants to do more than convict us. He wants to convert us. He doesn't just want to convict us or convince us that we're sinners. He wants to convert us. He wants to change us. He wants to bring us to saving faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. Let's remember that true conversion to Christ isn't just a one-time event. The Bible teaches that we must daily be converted. That each day we must be turned away from our sin and each day be turned back to God through Jesus Christ. So when we're confronted by God's Word, we should be moved to bring our prayers to Him, the petitions and supplications and prayers of repentance and prayers asking for God's forgiveness of our sin through Jesus. May I remind you that it's only in Jesus that we can truly repent. An unsaved person, a non-Christian, may have regret over the bad things they've done in the past. They may even cry over them and be very sad about them. But only a Christian can truly repent in that biblical sin. Repenting is humbling ourselves as God works in us by His Word and Spirit through Jesus. It's the Word of Jesus and the Spirit of Jesus that breaks us down and brings us to the work of Jesus, His saving work for us on the cross. God the Father has laid on Jesus all of our sin, that Jesus took the punishment of our sin, and that by trusting in Jesus, God will forgive us our sins. So all of this then is revealed by God in His Word. That's God's revelation. And then God looks for our response. as He enables us by His grace. What is your response? What's your response to God's Word? What's your response to the hearing of the Word on Sundays as you hear the preaching of the Word through the week, as you're reading the Word and meditating on the Word? What's your response personally, individually? How do you respond to the Lord? We read in chapter 36 of Jeremiah that when some of the officials of the king's court heard the word of the Lord, some responded in a good way. Verse 16, we read that some officials listened to the words of the scroll and they responded with fear. It's maybe a little more strongly put in other translations, but they responded with fear. That was probably a fear towards God, a reverence and a respect for Him, because they now were struck by how terrible their sin was before the Holy God. And as officials, they knew that they were responsible, at least in part, for leading the people of Judah into those sins. They were part of the ruling class. They were advisors to the king. It's very difficult for the people to go in the right way if the officials in the ruling class are going in the wrong way. Some of these ruling officials seem to be filled with a godly fear when they hear the word of God. Another part of their fear seems to be political, because they know their king. They know King Jehoiakim. They know that King Jehoiakim would hate those words of God. And so they know that the prophet Jeremiah and his secretary Baruch are also in grave danger. The king will want to kill them. The king will want to be done with them. So the officials, or some of the officials, tell Jeremiah and Baruch to hide themselves. The king can't find them. Now eventually, King Jehoiakim himself wants to hear the words written on that scroll. The king's secretary obtains the scroll and he starts reading from that scroll to the king. And what does the king do? I began with a little introduction by this chapter saying that the father of King Jehoiakim was King Josiah. And remember, King Josiah, very interesting, isn't it? We'd say, oh, what a coincidence, but all this is in control of the Lord. That King Josiah at age 28 or 29 had a scroll brought to him. And it was also a scroll of the word of the Lord, the first five books of our Bible. And the king sat down, the king commanded that scroll be read to him while he was listening. And that king, King Josiah, when he heard the word of the Lord, he repented of his sin. We read that he tore his robes in that ancient and cultural way of showing repentance of sin and a grief and a sorrow over the sin committed before the Lord. And Josiah renewed the covenant that the Lord had made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Josiah heard a scroll being read. Now his son, many, many years later, also hears a scroll being read. He commands it's read to him. He's sitting there listening to it being read, and the scroll is also the word of the Lord. But he's not at all like his father. When this king, the son, hears the reading from that scroll, instead of tearing his clothes, as did his father, this king tears out the pages of the Bible. Instead of shredding his clothing, this king shreds the scroll, cutting it in pieces and burning it up. King Jehoiakim hates God's word and he refuses to repent. We read that he takes out a knife used by scribes in those days, and after each section from the scroll was read, the king cuts off that section and throws it into the fire. It's the winter season. A small fire is burning in his room to give him some warmth. Section by section, the king throws God's word into the fire. Revelation, God's revelation, and human response. But in this case, a very, very wicked response. King Jehoiakim responded to God's word in anger. He hated God. He hated His word. He refused to seek the Lord while He may be found. He refused to call on the Lord while the Lord was near. And we all know people today who hate God's word. There are some very famous atheists living today, some of them in England and Europe, who've recently written best-selling books attacking God and the Bible. But many other people, not famous at all, just ordinary people, living in our own communities, maybe even your neighbor, they're good people in certain ways, nice people. They go to work each day. They're raising their children. They're living in our communities. But they, too, hate God's Word. Oh, they would be too polite to say it that way. They wouldn't literally tell you they hate God's Word. But think of this. God's Word, the Bible, is really God's letter to us, isn't it? God has had this book written down, even from ancient days. It's been preserved for us. It's been translated for us. It's now in easy written form. We all have it. People today, generally in our communities, even if you would give them a free Bible, and I'm sure you have Bibles for distribution here, and you would go to your neighbor and say, here's a Bible. This is God's Word. This is God's letter to you, telling you how the Creator of the universe, who He is, how He wants you to be in relationship with Him. What will they do? Well, most of them, sadly, even if you gave it to them, simply put it down and there it would sit. They'd go in and out of the house and there it'd sit, day after day, week after week, year after year, until finally it'd be sort of stored away. See, most of the people of the world do not really care. They won't open up the pages of the Bible. They're completely ignoring God's letter to them. Let's not focus on those kinds of people. Let's look at ourselves. How we ourselves often completely ignore God's Word to us. Oh, as Christian people, we often read the Bible. We hear it preached on the Lord's Day. But how often don't we, as God's people, how often do we refuse to do what God says in the Bible? We ignore it. We go our own way. God says this, we do something different. We live in the ways we want to live instead of living in the ways that God tells us how to live in His Word. God, show us His grace as His people. That we would be brought to repent of our sins. That we would repent of our failure to truly hear God's Word and have that Word change our lives. We repent of our ignoring God's Word. May we repent of not teaching God's Word to our children. How important that is as Christian parents, that we teach God's Word to our children at those early in those early years of life. And how sometimes as parents we're very bad examples to our children. We might say the Word, but we don't live it. How again we should repent of our sin before the Lord. But then also recall verse 7 of Jeremiah 36, verse 7, that God's purpose in giving us His Word is that we would be led to repentance. That we would bring our supplications, our petitions, our cries for mercy, our humbling ourselves in prayer, that we would daily turn from our sin and turn again to the Lord. That's why God gives us His Word. God, show us His mercy, and may we pray for God's mercy to us in Jesus Christ. Because remember once again that Jesus, and only Jesus, taken all our sin upon Himself, all our failure to even repent of our sins as Christians. All of our sin has been placed on Jesus. God has punished Jesus in our place. And as we trust in Jesus, we're fully forgiven of our sin. Know that good news of the gospel. And then secondly, know that Jesus has been raised to a new life, a resurrection life. And the New Testament says that we are to share in that resurrection life of Jesus, living in newness of life as Jesus empowers us by His Spirit within. Increasingly live for Jesus, live in obedience to Jesus as our Savior and Lord. God's revelation to us and our response back to Him. Oh, may God be praised. Let us pray.